Blog Talk Radio.
Success with Tony D. I want to thank you for joining us on the show tonight. Tonight being the 29th of March, almost over, people. So tonight I want to thank you all again for tuning in. Tonight we have Reverend Robert A. Crutchfield. He is a bivocational minister in Katy, Texas. How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing fine, Tony.
All right. I appreciate you for coming on the show tonight. And where is Katy, Texas?
Katy, Texas is just west of the big city of Houston. It's probably best known as the land of the tiger. Our local Katy Tigers have been the Max Preps National High School Football Champions 2 out of the last 5 years. So it's all about football around here.
Oh, okay. Well, we're in Georgia, and it's about football, too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was out
Georgia,
there in Texas back in the 80s. I was in the military. I was in Killeen. You heard of Killeen?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
well, that's
in fact,
where
my wife used to live out there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, again, welcome to the show. And how about you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Oh, well, like you said, I'm a bivocational minister. I'm in my 50s. I just a guy trying to spread God's word the best I know how, and as many different ways as he gives me the opportunity to do so. I have a husband. I have a wife, of course. I have 2 daughters, 4 grandsons, who I dearly love.
If,
aside from Christ himself, they're probably my mission in life more than anything, those boys.
Well, we just had our first grandchild back in December. My daughter.
Congratulations on that.
And appreciate it. And I'm just surprised how much she affects us. I mean, it's something different about a grandchild. I just don't.
It's like my wife says, parenthood is an incredible thing, but grandparenthood takes it to a whole nother level.
Whole nother level. Well, how long have you been in Christian ministry?
In one form or another, since 1998, I've always been bivocational, so I've always had a full-time job alongside my ministry. Part of the way that's worked over the years is the same as I tell young people when they come to me about understanding God's purpose for their life. What I tell them is to look at the gifts that God has given you to equip you for that mission, and that those gifts will help you define that mission. And in my case, for instance, not only I, but a lot of other people see me as a very gifted writer. So there's been a lot of writing involved in that. And of course, as the internet has evolved, that has opened other opportunities. Currently, I'm preaching out of a nursing home here in our home community. I've been doing that for about 3.5 years now. The idea there has always been to grow more of a complete church out of that effort, but that has not completely come together yet. The real surprise to me in ministry in the last few years has been our blog, faithinspires.org, which last year reached over 195 different countries.
Wow.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, sometimes you think Lord is leading you in a particular direction, but then you look at how things are playing out, and that may not be it. I originally thought that we would build a church and the blog would be an outreach of that church. But as things have evolved over the last 3.5-4 years, what has become apparent is that the blog is going to become the larger ministry. And as somebody that has a gift for things like writing, it does seem that the Lord might well lead me in the direction of a media-type ministry such as our blog.
Okay.
But from my standpoint, I can't see doing that without some kind of in-place local get your hands dirty kind of ministry. So I don't ever see myself not preaching, not working with, say, a food bank or a crisis pregnancy center and having different things here in our local community where not only is there the writing and the media type ministry things, but I'm also in tune spiritually and on a practical level with what's going on in people's lives, what their needs are, and how Scripture intersects with those needs.
Well, you know, it's funny. I heard you mention, you know, get your hands dirty. I was at a community prayer meeting on last night, and that was one of the things mentioned. You know, ministry is outside of the four walls, in which we all know that. And it's sad to say a lot of people don't realize, you know, you really have to get your hands dirty to be a real minister of the gospel, and to do ministry, it's a lot of hard work.
Well, it's like I tell people, not being quoted publicly as saying so, Christianity is not a spectator sport.
It's not.
We're not meant to sit in the pews and simply stay there. We are in the pews to be discipled, to be emboldened, to be equipped, but then we're supposed to get up, get into the world, and make an impact in people's lives.
Wow.
And I don't see how you can do that with a strictly media ministry.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll get back to your blog in just a second, but I wanted to ask you, you know, did you grow up in a Christian environment? And if
yes,
so,
I did.
Yeah, okay.
I was in a Christian environment, a regular churchgoer. During most of my formative years, most of my childhood, interestingly enough, I went through a period in high school, college, a couple of years after my early adulthood, where I didn't go completely the other direction as, say, C.S. Lewis did, who became a Christian, became an atheist, and then later became a Christian again. But I did go through a period of what you might call spiritual ambivalence. And the thing that shifted things back in the spiritual direction and made me more serious about spiritual things and then led to the ministry was 88 when my father passed away, which, as you can imagine, for a 24-year-old young man, was a life-rocking event. It made me reconsider a lot of things and reestablish my priorities in a whole new order.
So was your dad a pastor or a leader in the church?
No, he was he would help with the ushers and whatnot once in a while, but he was not particularly what you would call a leader in the church, but he was definitely a very spiritual man.
Uh-huh.
And it was my mother, more so than my father, who was the very spiritual one.
So how did his passing kind of drive you, I guess best term, drive you back to God?
I think just because he was a strong figure in my life, and his passing was very sudden, it was very unexpected, and it just caused me to re-examine the things that my world was anchored into and how that I viewed things. It's hard to explain to somebody that hasn't been down that road how losing a central figure in your life like that can jolt your thinking.
Oh, yeah. Been there, done that. Well, as you, you know, experienced those things as a young man, what was the length of time, I guess, you kind of lost, I won't say lost faith, but the fire?
Ah, I was thinking about that last night, actually, thinking forward to this interview. I'd say that my period of ambivalence, as I call it, lasted maybe 6-8 years. So it was a substantial amount of time.
And so in that process, were your kids, you know, were they born at that time or?
No, okay. I was single at that time.
And the reason I ask that is because, you know, a lot of times people, you know, especially being brought up in the church, kind of, like I say, lose that fire, kind of get,
mm-hmm.
I hate to use the term, but kind of get bored, especially if you don't have a real ministry, if you're not involved in ministry. It's just the same old ho-hum and doing the same old things over and over again. And sometimes
I think that's
I've
exactly where I kinda, was.
Yeah. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
So do you consider yourself a workaholic when it comes to ministry?
I don't know that I would say a workaholic, but the thing for me with ministry is, like you and I were talking about before the show, the bivocational aspect of it. It's something I can't not do.
Yeah.
It's at this point in the game, it's part of my core being. I can't not be a minister. If I have to work a full-time job like I do now and then do the ministry on as best I can on the time I have left, that's what I got to do. If my talent is in writing and producing articles and blogs and things, that's what I'm going to do. One of the things that my blog enables me to do is work around that full-time schedule. And I've been very fortunate that my secular employer, 99% of the time, has been very generous about letting me have Sunday mornings off so that I can do some of the more active in-person preaching and active ministry. I remember one time I was over there. It's one of those times where it's like the old saying, what if you gave church and nobody showed up? I was about ready to, and I preach out of a nursing home, so there's a captive audience, but there's also a body of people there that they're going through a lot of different kinds of crisis in their life.
Yeah.
And this one particular Sunday didn't look like anybody was going to show. They did the announcements, they did the usual thing, nobody came. I was about ready to give up and leave. And the nurse rolled this lady up, put in the nursing home, lost her home, all that kind of thing. And that week prior had lost her grown daughter.
Wow.
So I ended up doing a church service for that one lady and was even there longer than normal because I did a certain amount of grief counseling and whatnot with her following the prepared service part I had just because of the need in her life.
And that's what really makes the difference, you know, when you actually, you know, meet a person's need. You know, it's not necessarily the amount of people who are present. You know, if you can just touch that one soul.
It gives you an incredible feeling. I remember one time, there are people that sometimes they like to look down on the internet, whatever. I remember one time, I forget what forum or whatever, I run into this young man. He was talking about how depressed he was and how nothing made any difference in his situation. And I almost wish I knew where this young man was because, I seriously wanted to come call 911 and send in the cavalry because I'm thinking this young man is going to do something stupid.
Yeah.
And the Spirit gave me, I wish I had saved him, the Spirit gave me 4 lines to message to this young man over the internet about how to take action on his faith. Because this was a Christian young man, or at least he claimed to be.
Yeah.
And I in faith, I took those lines the Spirit gave me, texted them to the young man. And I got a message back from him the next day. And I always remember he said, just to hear your words, I was healed. Brother,
wow.
Those were not my words. And when God can use you right out of somebody's life, adding in this country.
I didn't catch the last part of that. You were kind of going in and out.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
I got a message from the young man the next day.
Yeah.
And he said that he knew he was going to be better because just to hear my words, he was healed. And I assure you, those were not my words.
That's ministry right there. Well,
yeah, well, and that's what I'm saying. I say when you get the opportunity like that where God uses you to literally kick the devil out of somebody's life, there's no high in the world that can beat that.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Well, as you're talking about your ministry, another part of your ministry is working with the Katy Fire Department or the EMS department.
I spent 3.5 years as a chaplain with the fire department, yes.
Yeah, okay. So tell us about that. How did that training or your ministry training help you in those situations where there may have been a tragic event or a dangerous circumstance?
Well, that's the kind of job. It's like people that are in the military like you were. You're always around people who do a lot more than you do. So you a lot of times you're left believing you didn't do all that much. But I know different. What they teach you in chaplain school or any other kind of chaplain training, first of all, is being a chaplain is a ministry of presence. You're there as a reminder. You're there as somebody to listen. You're somebody there. You're there to stand God's ground. Now, more practical level, sure, I did the invocation, the department's business meetings. There was one particular case that they needed to transport a young man, and I was there and was able to make the call to his father, letting him know that they were transporting his adult son to the hospital. And because of my ministry training, because of my ministry temperament, I was able to relay that information in a manner that did not unduly upset this individual.
Yeah. And I can imagine, and the reason I laughed, I just, you know, at the prayer service we were at last night, I was just asked to possibly be the chaplain, the opportunity to join the chaplain corps down here where we are. So
mm-hmm.
That was kind of odd. But anyway.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
Not fine. I would just say that it's a unique area of ministry. I tell people all the time. I say ministry looks altogether different from the back of a fire truck.
Yeah, I can imagine. We were talking about a chaplain for our the police department, sheriff's department, and I was like, well, I was kind of caught me off guard, but anyway, it's ministry. But that being said, just going on with your writing. And I don't know if we asked this question, but how long have you been writing?
Well, in the general sense, basically since junior high, I was in and winning writing competitions when I was in seventh, eighth grade. So as a general term, I've been writing since, let's see, that would be a long time ago. And then, of course, after the death of my father on the paradigm shift in my worldview that turned me back in Christ's direction and that sort of thing, a lot of my writing that would have been January of 88 on has been in a more Christian direction. And, of course, as I have gained experience, both ministry experience, both as well as life experience, as I've become more practiced as a writer, those things have only continued to develop.
So have you written a book?
No book yet, but I'm at a stage where I'm looking at maybe collecting some of my different articles and things, and if nothing else, creating a book that way, but we are not there yet.
Okay. Well, I can give you some connections if you're interested. Good friend of mine.
I may be back with you about that.
My first book. So, as we're going back to your website now, faithinspired.org. Now, where did that come from?
Well, oddly enough, that all goes back to the whole getting your hands dirty idea. Because it is my belief that every Bible-believing Christian has a ministry.
Yeah.
It may not be a vocational ministry in terms of somebody that pastors a church or something of that nature, but God has, for every person, certain things he is of mind to them to do to help people in his name. Faithinspires.org, the full name of the blog, is Faith That Inspires Action. It all comes back to the idea, just like I talk about ministry being something I can't not do. The central idea behind our blog, other than there's the idea of providing news and information to people who might not otherwise have access to it, is the idea that a Christian should love God and love Christ so much they can't sit still. Because that is the nature of love. It's just the dynamic between my wife and I.
Yeah. Yeah.
My wife can get the coffee cup out of the microwave and carry it to her chair. But sometimes, especially if I know she's having a bad day, she's particularly tired, whatever, I'll get the coffee cup out of the microwave and take it to her. Because I love my wife so much, I cannot not do things for her. And that basic love dynamic that happens between a husband and a wife or a parent and a child is the same love dynamic, in my belief, that should happen between God and us as believers. So oftentimes in my blog, we'll carry stories about how faith got somebody through a certain crisis, or how in the midst of crisis what happened through their faith caused somebody to start a particular organization, or different things about getting up out of the pews and putting hands and feet to their faith.
One friend of mine calls it boots on the ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the material from on your blog, is it all, you know, your personal information? Is it all your personal writings?
Not at all. I do write quite a few of the articles, and I also get a lot of material from different Christian news sources and whatnot.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is, if you look at last year, out of 633,000, almost 634,000 page views, out of something over 200 total posts that we had on our blog last year, posts. Our blog
you're moving because I believe your phone is going in and out. Hello, Robert? Looks like we're having a little difficulty
is that
here. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. I didn't catch
what
any
I'm saying
of
is
that.
Over 200. Articles on my blog last year,
yeah.
All 10 of the top 10 were articles that I personally wrote.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Not articles that we brought in from other sources.
So that being said, you know, while you were talking, I actually clicked over on your blog, and I see one of the first things is the Christians react to Georgia governor's veto of religious rights. And that's one of the big topics here in Georgia where we are.
I bet it is.
Yeah,
we've been getting quite a bit of reaction to that article.
Yeah, and that being said, and I don't want to really get into a whole lot of this because we've got about 4 or 5 minutes left, but that being said, those type of laws can actually stifle the creativity of Christians when it comes to, you know, what you're doing, don't you think?
It's certainly a double-edged sword. It can stifle Christians. On the other hand, what we're trying to do is provide examples to people of how people are representing their faith in different spheres of society. But it's like a lot of things in that ministry, you kind of have to sort of do certain things in faith, but you have to at the same time be very mindful that the law of unintended consequences is out there.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
And that sometimes things that you put out there may go in a different direction than what you intended. But you can't let that mindfulness of unintended consequences keep you from trying to people examples of what can be done and ways of moving forward.
So how do you promote your blog? And again, the name is faithinspires.org. How do you promote it? Are you on social media? And how can our listeners find you?
I'm on Facebook. Facebook.com/Crutchfield, RUVCRUTCHFIELD. I'm also on Twitter at www.twitter.com/RevPressfield. And I also have my personal Facebook page is Hitting the Limit, but you can also search for REV.RobertACrutchfield and pick up my fan page, and that also contains a great deal of the same information.
Let me get that last one again.
Well, the fan page, you have to go to Facebook and search for it, but if you search under REV.RobertACrutchfield, it'll come up. And those links are also on our blog page as well in the right-hand column.
Okay. Well, again, I do appreciate you coming on the show. What are your final words for our listeners concerning your blog or what you're doing on the Internet?
The biggest thing I think I want to emphasize on people is just the idea of bringing hands and feet to your faith, putting your faith into action. Certainly as far as our blog, to come to our blog for ideas, some of which you may agree with, some of which you may not, but at least it'll get your thinking going. And we'll do the best we can to keep you up with what's going on Christian world, which is for a are transpiring, and just take that information, take their faith, and put it into action.
Well, again, Mr. Reverend Robert A. Crutchfield, I do, again, appreciate you for being on the show. We're going to actually get that information out. You're on Facebook at REV.RobertACrutchfield on Facebook.
That'll give you my fan page.
Got to give you a fan page. And also the blog is Faith Inspired.
www.faithinspires.org.
Okay, again, I appreciate you, sir. Hey, for all our listeners, I do appreciate you all for tuning in tonight. And Reverend Robert, I appreciate you too, sir. And I pray God's blessings on you and your ministry. You all, I just wish you a blessed evening. You have a great one.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you.